From Daytona Beach, Florida, this is the Daytona Motor Mouths Podcast.
The Daytona 500 belongs to Franklin, Tennessee's Darrell Waldron.
With two of the preeminent motorsports writers in America, from the Daytona Beach News Journal, Godwin Kelly.
Hey, get out of my way.
And Ken Willis.
Come on, Godwin, Rubbin's racing.
This is the podcast for NASCAR fans.
Now the checkered flag about to come out.
From the home of NASCAR, Daytona Beach, Florida.
Here he comes. He's going
to
do
the bottom. He's down low.
The Daytona Motor Mouths on Twitter at NASCAR Daytona or Facebook at NASCAR Daytona or visit online at DaytonaMotorMouths.com.
And Kevin Harvick is the Daytona 500 winner.
Now, here they are from the Daytona Beach News Journal, Godwin Kelly and Ken Willis.
He's going to make it. Dale Jarrett's going to win the Daytona 500.
Well, hello, hello, Ken
Howdy,
Willis.
Howdy.
Ken Willis here, and right there is...
Godwin P. Kelly, Peace Island.
This is the Daytona Motor Mouse. And we're coming to you from Daytona Beach, Florida, about 5 or 6 miles. 6 miles if we're doing an expense report, 5 miles as the crow flies from Daytona International Speedway. You know, you put down that extra mile enough times over the course of your life. That's, you know, in lieu of a gold watch when you retire, you get a tank of gas, I think, out of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're taping this Monday.
Yep.
And everybody right now has eclipse fever. Of course, by tomorrow when this airs, it'll be
everybody
like...
Everybody will be eclipsed.
Yeah, everybody will be eclipsed.
Or as we call it back home, the eclipse. Carrying Mama down to Carbondale to see the eclipse. All right, we're going to talk a little bit of Rowdy Nation.
Is there,
I don't. Even, I'm not sure there's a Rowdy County, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about his win total for his career and who he's chasing. Got a little bit of Matt Kenseth and Eric Jones for you coming up for you here.
Yeah.
Daytona Motor Mouse. Yes, we do. And we're also going to talk a little bit of Hulu. We're going to tell you why NASCAR babies are always born on Tuesday. And at the end of the show, we're going to do birthdays. Got some good birthdays coming up this week. You shading yourself?
Yeah, I'm preparing.
Okay.
We're on Facebook Live.
All right. Well, you can go do me a favor. Go stare at the sun for a few seconds because we're going to take a short little pause, and then we're going to be back with the beginning of Daytona Motor Mouths. All right. It's time for What Do You Know? What Do You Know, Mr. Kelly? Kyle Busch. He broke out the broom at Bristol, and he won three races, the only three he entered, the only three available to him, Bristol, there at the apex of Virginia and Tennessee, where they see the eclipse.
Tennessee.
And so he's now at 180 career wins between trucks, Busch Series, and Cup.
Right.
180, that's a lot.
And for you at home, Busch Series is actually Xfinity.
Yeah, for you new kids. So he's at 180, and there's only one man ahead of him in the history of NASCAR's major national touring series, and I think we know who that is.
Yes, it would be the King.
Yes, it would be.
The King.
And Richard Petty had... Here's a good trivia question for you. Bring up there at the bar stool, Mr. Know-It-All next to you there drinking his scotch and soda. Lean over and say, well, how many career wins did Richard Petty have in NASCAR's big series, big national touring series? And that man would probably say what, Mr. Kelly?
That man would say 200.
And
proudly. Say 200.
And then you just would look at him and give him that little, the chuckle like, you dummy. Is that? Yeah, a lot of people think that. But he actually had how many, Mr. Kelly?
201.
Yes. In 1959, King Richard, he ran about a dozen races in NASCAR's short-lived convertible series. And in 1959, he won one of those races when he was 21, 22 years old. He won it at Columbia, South Carolina, Columbia Speedway, and on July 18, right after, it was not long after he turned 22.
Yeah,
it was Columbia's July race.
The July race,
and he won that race. And ask me, say who else was in that race?
Who else was in that race?
The top 10: positions 2 through 10 following Prince Richard Petty at the time when he won his one convertible race.
You know what? I've seen clips where they call him Dick Petty.
Dick Petty, yeah. Don't call me Dick Petty. Jack Smith, Glenn Wood, Larry Frank, not to be confused with Frank Larry, the old football player. Yep. Speedy Thompson, Fred Harb, Buddy Baker, Roy Tyner, Jim Pascal, and 10th place, Tiny Lund.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there you go. I was looking at the – you can look these things up, you know, if you got access to the intranet. You look these things up, and what struck me, if you look down like around 30th place back in the bottom of where all these guys left, you know, they fell out early. Nowadays, you'll see, you know, engine, transmission, crash usually, accident, crash, whatever. But some of the reasons out for these guys leaving the race, battery, crash, drive shaft – That'll put you out every time.
Yeah.
Flywheel, that hurts. Radiator, or as they say in the Midwest, radiator.
Radiator.
RF hub, which I think is the right front hub, I guess.
Yeah.
Or the right fielder. piston, RF wheel, and axle.
Axle.
Yeah, they don't make they didn't make axles too good back then. Them axles, it'll hurt you. As the Prince would say, they don't make them axles too good. So anyway, Richard Petty had 201 wins, and now you know a lot more than you ever wanted to know about the extra win that you might not have ever known about until now, and you wouldn't have known about if you didn't pod us up.
To recap, Kyle Busch, also who likes to be known as Rowdy,
yeah,
he is at 180.
Yes, he is.
And Richard Petty has 201 wins all time. So
within 2 years, couple, maybe three, depending on how much Kyle runs in those other series going forward. He seems to love doing it.
Well, the thing is, though, is they're restricting the number of times.
Right.
Yeah, so he won't have as many as at-bats now.
But doesn't seem to need a lot of at-bats.
Yeah, you're
give him five starts in a truck next year, he'll probably win three of them. So,
oh, I thought you were going to say four of them.
He might win six of the five. That's how good he is in trucks. Yep. So, afterwards, you know, I see they're really pushing this Rowdy Nation chatter, you know, NASCAR's Twitter feed, and they're really showing a lot of him with the broom and everything, and they're referring to him as the polarizing Kyle Busch. He's so good, yet he's still getting a lot of booing from the crowd. And somebody says, well, you know, could he be the guy, that the polarizing figure that NASCAR needs, you know? And I said, no, because here's the difference. And there's only been one guy who was the epitome of that, and that was Earnhardt Sr. Now, Kyle Busch's problem is, unlike Earnhardt Sr., he didn't have half the crowd pulling for him. He's got at least half pulling against him, which you need if you're going to be that guy. Darrell Waltrip came really close to being that guy at his best when he first came up.
Oh, yeah.
But he didn't have half of the people pulling for him. He had more than half pulling against him, and a pocket of people from Owensboro and Leroy and Michael and Mama pulling for him. After that, not a whole lot. So you got to have an equal, and there's only been one guy who's ever done that, who's basically like almost split right down the middle of the grandstands. Half want me to win, half want me to wreck, you know. And Earnhardt's the only one. Now, you know, Kyle's great in that NASCAR, you know, you could use a villain, and it helps that if that villain wins a lot. And so he kind of fits that mold. You know, villain might sound harsh to some people, but, you know, we're talking from an athletic standpoint. I don't think he's stealing from the plate at church.
I like to call it black hat, white hat, just to, you know, there's the black hat kind of guys and the white hat kind of guys.
How about a White House black market? Boy, I'd like to walk past one of them or drive past one of them stores once without somebody grabbing the wheel and saying, gotta go in here. My God, they had the same thing they did last week when we went in there. But anyway, I digress. Kyle, I wrote about it for the NASCAR This Week page.
Whoa.
That comes out and probably in a paper near you across North America.
Yeah. Just follow the track of the eclipse, and we're all along there.
Pretty much. That's our belt line right there. Yeah. And I wrote about why, you know, this very subject, that Kyle can't be that guy because, you know, you got to have half pulling for you, and he's nowhere near that. But he's good for the sport in that, you know, he gets your attention, and he's not shy. So that's good. I don't know how many tickets sales that equates to. Probably not much, but it gets eyeballs watching TV. If for no other reason, you're hoping somebody beats Kyle Busch. And he just has that Eddie Haskell. He's just got that Eddie Haskell thing going, you know, where you just want to, oh, God, come on. You know, there's this, I don't know what it, remember when Eddie Haskell would leave the room and Ward Cleaver would look at June and just that looked like, something about that boy. And he pissed off Ward Cleaver, you know. So if Ward Cleaver was only around today, he'd look at his color TV on Sundays or Saturday night and say, oh, there's just something about that Kyle Busch. I just can't put my finger on it.
Yeah.
You know. So, anywho. So, what else we got from Bristol? We had something interesting going on in the chase for chasing after Kyle Busch. We had some interesting going on from at least a couple of those guys.
Well, first of all, Eric Jones.
Eric with a K.
Eric with a K Jones.
Goofy.
He won the pole position at Bristol. So, that puts him into...
The shootout clash.
Which
unlimited shootout clash
should be noted. But it was weird because after the race, they brought Jones in.
The whole town's talking about the Jones boys.
Who's running the 77 car
for
this
now?
Year.
Yeah,
and then they've also brought in Matt Kenseth,
Mills Brothers. Everybody's talking about the Jones boy. Mills Brothers? Okay. Anyway, sorry, Mr. Kelly. Go ahead.
And then they also brought in Matt Kenseth.
Yeah, Mild Matt.
Yeah, Mild Matt. And they were sitting side by side. Now, if I'm a 20-year-old kid and I'm sitting next to the guy that I'm replacing next year,
yeah,
I think I might be a little uncomfortable, you yeah. know? I
mean, there's kids today, though. They're not uncomfortable.
Yeah. So, anyway... during the course of the press conference with Jones and Kenseth sitting side by side, Jones basically said, I didn't mean to hit Kenseth. And Kenseth didn't realize he had been hit. And so we have a clip of their back and forth with a reporter, you know, saying something in between what they're talking about.
But, I'm going to confirm that. Do we have a clip this? Oh, that's great. You're right, Mr. Kelly.
Yes, we have clippage.
Are we ready to go to the clippage?
Yes, let's clip it.
All right.
To you, Matt.
I didn't mean to hit Matt.
Did you hit me?
Just barely.
I said it was respectfully.
Anyways.
I didn't remember. You shouldn't have brought it up. Now I'm mad. You
morale
guys laugh.
Wait
till we leave here.
I think he can take you.
Takes my ride and he runs into me.
Now, that right there is the dry humor of Mild Matt Kenseth that everybody talks about, that we all know and love. And, that was a neat little moment.
Yeah, yeah. But it was Matt Kenseth, it was tongue-in-cheek. He wasn't threatening poor little Eric Jones.
That's too bad. It would have been so much more fun if he had.
Yeah. Well, if it was Kyle Busch.
Oh,
yeah.
Might not have liked it too good.
That might have been a real thing. Yeah.
All right, so now Mild Matt has an off week coming up to think about it and to ponder his plans or non-plans for 2018 and beyond, because nothing going on this weekend as there's an off week before the Labor Day weekend festivities at Darlington.
Well, it's an off week for the Cup Series.
Yep. Busch boys are out somewhere.
Yeah.
Busch series.
I'm just gonna capitulate.
It's a lot easier to say.
Yeah, I'll just say the Busch series. They're at Road America. They're the highlight race.
That's a fun race to watch.
Yeah.
Especially assuming you like road courses. If you don't like road courses, don't watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
so,
that is a neat race course. I like looking.
So anyway, that's the premier race Sunday.
Yep.
And
so
then, the trucks are off too. So
pick 'em ups.
So the only show in town is
at Road America and the Busch series.
Yep.
Well, that's all we know for What Do You Know.
Well, you know what?
What?
Let's get out of here.
Let's get on out of here, and we'll be right back with segment number two of Daytona Motor Miles right after this.
I can't wait.
All right, moving on to the middle section.
And we're back.
Referred to as the, you'll get that in big time auto racing. I'm Ken Willis, that's Godwin Kelly. And you want to talk, there's a neat little sponsor, You'll get what you'll get sometimes in big time auto racing is a neat little sponsor tie-in with a driver that lends itself to a multimedia opportunity. Am I correct in that, Mr. Kelly?
That is absolutely right on the money.
Well, what do you know?
Yeah, I got something. You get that in big time auto racing.
So what's going on with this one?
Well,
I'm in the dark.
Jeffrey Earnhardt,
Junior's nephew, which makes him Uncle Junior.
Right.
Uncle Junior. He's Carrie's son, Carrie Earnhardt's son.
Carrie.
Which is Dale Earnhardt Sr.'s oldest boy, is Carrie.
Right.
And Jeffrey Earnhardt is Carrie's son.
And Carrie's middle name's Dale, so now we're really confused. Yeah.
The one on the left is on the right, and the one in the middle is on the left. Yeah. Yeah. My uncle used to love me, but she died. Roger Miller. Anyway, go ahead on. They are from the PD, I do believe.
Yeah. Anyway, Jeffrey drives for, you know, one of those single car teams that kind of struggles and blah blah blah, but he's trying to make it in the series, yada yada yada. And then out of the blue, he gets a show, his very own show
on color TV.
Yeah. On Hulu. Which is a streaming service.
I just can't say that. I can't even hear it without giggling, but go ahead. Streaming service.
Yeah. So it's a streaming service. And the show is called The Driver.
And that's interesting.
What they're doing, I guess this is going to be like a long, long-range plan thing. Is they're going to, like, check in with Jeffrey Earnhardt as he progresses up the ladder in NASCAR. Mm-hmm. So right now he's...
On a lower rung?
No, he's positioning the ladder.
Oh, is that he's positioning the ladder? Yeah.
He's getting the ladder up from the truck.
He's a lot, yeah. He sent the apprentice to get the ladder. That's another show. what you got to do if you're in that situation, if you're one of these guys running for one of them low-budget teams and you're finishing 25th to 35th every week or worse, you just got to find a formula to start finishing better than people expect you to finish. And sooner or later, you turn enough heads. You got to overachieve, basically. That's what guys got. You got to do it. And they go, well, I'd rather not race if I had to race in one of them cars at the back. Well, you get one of them cars in the back and hopefully get a break here or there and overachieve, start finishing 20th instead of 35th. And before you know it, somebody go, you know, he's a pretty good little racer. Pretty good little race car driver, and then they put you in a little better car, and that's the way these things work. But sometimes, a lot of times, they don't work.
Like your Matt DiBenedetto.
Matty DiBenedetto. Matty Ice. Matty D. Yes.
Well, what's interesting here, though, is that Jeffrey Earnhardt, we're talking about, he's got a 19 race. Sponsorship package from Hulu, in addition to having this show on Hulu.
A streaming package.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he is, Hulu is streaming Jeffrey Earnhardt.
I really do hope it works. Does he have anything to say about this by chance?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we caught him in the corner and got a clip from him.
All right. Are we going to go to that? All right. Here's Jeffrey Earnhardt.
Hulu, obviously, you know, they got a huge audience, and it was something they were interested in doing as well. You know, they thought it would be something cool to release and give, you know, fans something to go, you know, watch on Hulu when you're logging on to Hulu to go stream live, watching the race or your favorite shows. You know, why not, you know, go watch your favorite driver and see, you know, a little bit about him and his life, if I am your favorite driver. But and if not,
after the show,
go watch it and just boo me through the whole thing, but just go watch it.
There's a little touch of his sense of humor and personality. I've talked to him a few times, like at media day a couple of times, and then in the garage here and there and on the starting grid. I enjoy talking to him. He'd be great if he could somehow, you know, get himself out there a little more. And this now the Hulu, you can get the Andy Griffith Show on the Hulu too, can't you? Think so? Yeah, because I've heard people talk about it. So.
Well, I think this, you know, that what you were saying before, how you can, you know, you catch somebody's attention by driving a bad car. Well, he is trying to fund the team so that it's better than a bad car.
Yeah.
And so if this all comes to pass, you know, this may be toward the end of this year, the beginning of next, and they've got more money, they got a little more technology, the car runs a little faster.
You know what he'll have? A little bit of Hulu horsepower.
Right.
Yeah.
So he'll start maybe climbing that ladder. Yeah. I mean, who knows?
He'll be blowing the doors off Matty DiBenedetto. I'm pulling for him. I really am. We got to get this done because he's a lot of fun to be around. But so is Matty DiBenedetto. So no hard feelings there. Real quick before we leave, you'll get that big time auto racing. Twitter and NASCAR announced that they're going to have in car cameras for the playoffs on the Twitter feeds.
Again, live streaming.
Cool. You know, the only reason I wrote that down is something to talk about because it was probably 15, 16, 18 years ago. I was sitting with Bill France Jr. doing this. It was a season preview thing or a season ending thing. It was somewhere there. It was sort of an overview of where the sport is now and where he thinks it's going and just how did they get to where they are. At that time, you know, they were just starting to go really national. I think the network contract was coming up, their first network blanket TV contract. And, I mean, everything was just cooking, you know. And when we started talking about how they got to where they are and where they came from, and he told me, he said, one of the most underrated things, or at least one of the things that nobody brings up when they talk about the growth of auto racing on TV, specifically NASCAR, from the 70s through the 80s and into the high-flying 90s, was the in-car camera for the networks. He said when they put, I think Benny Parsons, or it's Kale. Or Benny Parsons, he said when they, and all of a sudden the in-car cameras started becoming commonplace. And somebody would have it in their car every week. He said that did, in his mind, did as much as anything to grow the TV audience. Because, boy, if you're sitting on your couch or you're a lazy boy, or in your case, the beanbag chair,
right.
And they can put you in the cockpit and show you what it looks like. And I remember that when they first started doing that, and it was great. And I said, you know what? You're right. You're smarter than you look, Billy. But it really was. It was. You know, he couldn't stop talking about how important that was to the evolution of network coverage or TV coverage of NASCAR and auto racing in general, and how big a deal that was.
You know, talking about big,
yeah.
You look at these cameras today, and everybody seems like they have a GoPro or something like that, and you can hold it in the palm of your hand.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And so those early versions of the in-car camera?
Oh, they were monsters.
They were huge.
Yeah. Looked like they had a mailbox in their car. Yeah. Yeah, they got these little eyeballs sticking on top now. Yeah. They had a guy. Yeah, they had a guy with a standing behind a camera in the cockpit with them. It was great. So anyway, that's that. Denny Hamlin's a father again. Molly Gold Hamlin. Nice of them to name it after Eli Gold like that. Molly Gold Hamlin. Born, guess what day of the week?
Oh, yeah, Sunday, right?
No, yeah. That's funny.
Hamlin missed the race, right? Because he had to be by at the hospital,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. The officially licensed birthday, two words, of NASCAR is Tuesday. If you go back and do your research, you'll find that 90-some percent of NASCAR racers' babies are born on a Tuesday. Oh, the miracles of modern OBGYN atomics or whatever. Obstetrics, I think, is the word I'm looking for.
Okay, I think maybe we should skedaddle out of here.
So anyway, now, I haven't researched the off-season babies. Now, they could come along any day of the week, but, boy, it's a miracle. They just all seem to be born on a Tuesday. Have yet to have a set of twins, though, on Tuesday, I think. Has anybody had twins? I don't believe they have. So we could have a two for Tuesday?
I think the last driver to have twins was Kerry Earnhardt, because I think his boys are twins.
Golly, might be right.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know what? You'll get that big-time auto racing. Tuesday babies.
All right. Well, you know what?
What?
It's time to get out of the clinic here.
All right, we go. Yeah, I'm all for that. The rabbit's alive. I'm running for the hills.
Yeah. So let's wrap this up and go to the last segment.
We'll be right back. All right, time for Green White Checkers. And we'll wrap up another Daytona Motor Mouse. Ken Willis with Godwin Kelly. Before we get to the ever-popular birthday roll call here, I want to talk about the week after next is Labor Day weekend in Darlington. Remember that 10 or 12 years at Labor Day weekend, the Southern 500, when it went away, and how everybody was gloomy because they got rid of that traditional race date at Darlington?
That was sad. You know, I think we covered the last one in 2003 when Terry Labonte won.
Yep.
And then it just disappeared. I mean, there was no... And I think Atlanta got that date.
Yep.
And they tried to call that race the Southern 500. And they were told, no, do not call it
Southern
500.
Well, then they brought it back. Then they brought it back to Darlington. And now everybody goes to Florence, South Carolina on Labor Day weekend. And they look at each other. And they look at each other up and down there in the garage. And they look at each other's feet and realize there's a puddle of sweat. You're standing in a puddle of sweat there in the garage. And go, tell me again why the hell we wanted to move this thing back to Labor Day weekend at Darlington. You know, they lost a race date, and so they were given their one race date moved to Mother's Day weekend, the Saturday night of Mother's Day weekend in early second week of May. And it's, you know, and it's not cold. It's not maybe not even cool. You could probably get by without a windbreaker on in Florence or Darlington in early May. But let me tell you something. Labor Day weekend, it's hot.
Well, now, there was, I used to go up there every year.
Yep.
And there was actually two times where it was, they actually had a cold front come through.
Was it like 92?
No, it was actually really nice.
Yeah.
But that was like 2 out of 25.
Yeah. I remember, you know, like back-to-back years at the Brickyard in early August. One year, I mean, you didn't want to get out of your car. It was so hot. And then the next year, it was like 74. It's crazy.
Well, I was up there one year, and I think it was the third or fourth Brickyard.
Mm-hmm.
And the morning, race morning, I'm not lying. You can give me a Bible. I'll put my hand on a Bible. I'll put my hand on the eclipse. It was 39 degrees.
How the hell did that happen?
It was like 6 in the morning.
Yeah. And were you just getting in? Just getting back to your room? That might explain this.
No comment.
Yeah.
But it was 6 in the morning, and it was at that point, I mean, that's the coolest point of the day, right?
Sure.
Yeah, at that point, it was 39 degrees.
Wow.
And obviously, you know, like in Daytona during the winter, mm-hmm. we can get like 39, then it's 72 or whatever, so... But I just thought that was weird for August. I mean, yeah. I'm just, you know, I'm a guy from Florida. 39 degrees in August.
All right, with that, we're going to guess ages. Smooth transition, right? Great segue. We're going to close out the show with birthdays. All the important birthdays deemed important by me between now and the time we do our next pod early next week. I'm going to give you a...
Quarter birthdays.
I'm going to give you a... you can't cheat. I'm going to give you a name, and you got to take a shot at how old they're going to be. You ready?
All right.
All right. Wednesday of this week, Steve Park has a birthday. Take a shot. You're taking way too long on this.
45.
50. Damn. Same day, Kenny Wallace.
Kenny Wallace. Okay, so Rusty and I are the same age. 54.
Ding, ding, ding. Good one. Rusty. Kenny Wallace will be 54 on Wednesday. Friday. Here's a blast from the past. Casey Atwood.
Okay.
This is tricky because he came along. He was really young. I think he was a teenager.
Yeah.
And then he disappeared about as fast as he came along.
Yeah. So that was 2003.
Damn.
And he was 21. So I'm ciphering like crazy.
Yeah.
So 2003, now 14.
14 years.
So he's like 36, 37.
37.
Yeah.
You got this going on. You cheat? Did you cheat?
No, I okay. just there. He was the
All
same
right, Saturday,
as Casey.
Here's
Casey
one for
Kane.
You. Here's one for you. Saturday, Ray Evernham.
Ooh.
Yeah, the keeper of the rainbow.
I'll say 55.
He'd open his toolbox and a rainbow would come out from. Ray is 60. His hair though is 11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When he keeps himself in great shape,
he looks
too.
Good. Looks good.
He boxes.
Beautiful head of hair. He boxes now. Y'all make a hair crack. Now you tell me he boxes?
Yeah, he boxes.
Thank you. That's great. Here's a good one for you. This guy I think you went to high school with. Or he was a separate high school, but y'all crosstown rivals. Saturday birthday, James Harvey Hilton.
Oh, Mr. Hilton. Yeah. Mr. Hilton is 75?
83.
Oh, my God.
Holy mackerel, time flies. All right,
where
now,
those 8 years ago.
Now, a week from now, the day before next week's pod goes down, Randy LaJoy. Or as they say north of the border, Randy LaJoy. Two-time LaJoy. Bush champion, I do believe.
Bush
right?
Series champion.
Two-time Bush Series champ.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Used to be paint trading buddies with Buckshot Jones and one of the great Bush Series rivalries of all time, right up there with the Greg Biffle, Kevin Harvick.
Well, he's got a kid that runs
Corey's Cup. Running the Cup Series right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, and the kid's
he runs next door to Jeffrey Earnhardt a lot, I think. They're trying to get the break.
And they're about the, I'm thinking, 60.
56. Still a young man. Strapping young lad, Randy LaJoy.
Yeah.
Yes.
I got some funny stories about him, but I can't podcast it because it's not podcast.
He has never gotten cheated. He had a good time and was a heck of a Bush Series champion.
He had fun racing automobiles, let me put it that way.
He got every bit out of it. Came out of Danbury, Connecticut, I do believe.
There's a plug for
Randy LaJoy, which he never expected and will hopefully never thank us because we reminded everybody how he's going to be 56. Actually, that's quite young, I would say. All right, that's all I got. That's green. I just took the checker. I don't know about you. Cool down lap, you good? Got anything for the cool down lap?
No, just, gosh, I hope nobody looked at the sun during this eclipse, and we'll take a head count next week when we resume the podcast. And we got a big announcement next week, by the way.
Oh, we do?
For the podcast. Uh-oh. Next week, we're going to make a big announcement.
I smell a contest.
Yes. Okay. Next week, we can explain this.
All right. Well, thank
you. In the meantime, if you go to Twitter, @HeyWillieNJ, if you want to get a hold of Ken Willis, @GodwinKelly on Twitter, if you want to get a hold of me.
Twitter gold.
Yeah. So, make communication, ask us questions. I'll tell you anything I know about Willis. Okay. He's an open book.
Yes, he is.
All right, that's it.
More like a magazine. Till next time, Ken Willis, Godwin Kelly, Daytona Motor Mouths. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Daytona Motor Mouths. To reach the program, please visit DaytonaMotorMouths.com or follow on Twitter @NASCARDaytona or Facebook @NASCARDaytona. And thanks for joining us. Daytona Motor Mouths is a production of the Daytona Beach News Journal.